This is a constantly changing topic. There's new threats that come out. There's new types of coverage. And these policies are really a changing commodity very quickly with the carriers.
Welcome to Speaking Insurance, a weekly podcast where we talk with successful insurance and risk management professionals to gain some insight into their success and to talk about the topics that are relevant to you. This is Speaking Insurance. We're talking today on the topic of protecting your agency from a cyber attack. Joining us today is Tim McClendon. Tim recently co-authored an article in Resources Magazine on this topic. Tim is a National Alliance faculty member and a managing partner of Hurdle McClendon LLP in Texas. So, Tim, in the article that you co-authored for Resources Magazine, you talk about having a cyber disaster recovery plan. Can you kind of talk about the importance of having such a plan for your agency?
Well, one of the things that I think most all commercial property and casualty agencies have done in the last few years is to work with their clients to make sure that they have a disaster recovery plan in place, depending on the type of business that they have. And generally, we're talking about disasters such as fires, windstorms, hurricanes, something of that nature. But one of the things in the last few years that has kind of changed our thinking is the cyber, different types of cyber attacks going on all over the world, not just all over the country. And what I typically find with my clients is they may have a disaster recovery plan in place for a fire or a tornado, but they haven't ever thought about putting one in place for a cyber attack. The problem is that if they do have a breach, there are so many requirements. There are 47 states that have security breach laws that require them to have certain types of notifications. There are also federal laws involved depending on the type of records that they have. So in the event of a breach, many times, unless they have a cyber policy in place, they probably really have no idea what all is required of them.
So if they do have a breach, what are the costs of such an incident?
Well, the costs are really all over the place. It's hard to pin down a number. Ponemon Institute has published some things showing approximately $154 a record. Net Diligence did a cyber claim study with about 140 claims that they looked at from 2014, and their average per record cost was $956, which was up from $307 from their claim study for 2013.
So what all does a cyber disaster recovery plan entail, and how can an agency develop an effective plan?
Well, there's several ways that they can develop a plan. If they do purchase a cyber policy, many of those companies will include with it some pre-breach preparedness, which allows them to contact specialists with the cyber liability companies or with different consultants about this, to where that they would have an idea of what information needs to be in there. But basically, there's several things that they would need to do. The first thing is, once a breach is discovered, and by the way, in many of the larger breaches, they usually find that the hackers have been inside the systems for between 1 and 2 years before they're ever discovered. So after a breach is discovered, it may be that someone has been in their system for a long period of time. But the first thing they need to do is figure out how to stop the breach and lock down a further breach and lock down their loss of data. It would be a good idea for them to have a response team, have some people that have some specific responsibilities, just like they would in the event of a fire or a windstorm. They would also need to make sure that they get the information together, such as what types of records might have been breached, who caused it, was this internal, was it paper records only, was it electronic records only, and if they have an idea where it came from, was it external or internal, all that information is going to be important. Now, if they do have a carrier, obviously they would want to contact them. And in many cases, the carrier would walk them through the different steps to make sure that all of these things are done. And then someone needs to be aware of what the statutory requirements are for that state and any federal laws that may have been breached as well. In other words, who do we have to notify? What's the time frame? And there are typically fines for not doing these. In the state of Texas, the fines are pretty substantial. They may also have contracts with specific clients about notifications. They probably need to contact their legal counsel. Obviously, it would be good to have counsel that's familiar with cyber breach laws. Then they may, at that point, have to notify the different individuals whose records may have been involved. And in some cases, those have to be sent out by U.S. mail. They also may have to pay for things such as credit reporting for 1 to 2 years. And then finally, they probably have to hire a forensic computer consultant to come in and really to gauge the extent of the damage and find out if records have been lost and really what is the extent of the hack.
So are there any resources that are available to help an agency in this process of putting together this plan?
Oh, yeah. There are tons of those out in the marketplace. One company is called Net Diligence. They provide a number of third-party products. One of the carriers uses a company called NoDataBreach.com, and they have a number of things, newsletters, online compliance materials. They give expert support online. They have training modules for employees. There's a company called Identity Theft 911. So there are a number of really highly thought of third parties out there that can provide all of these services. But as I said, in many cases, these services are provided through the insurance policy if the carrier has such a thing with their policy, their cyber liability policy.
So when you're looking at different cyber policies, what are some things that you should be aware of?
Well, there are obviously several different types of coverage that are available, and the policy really needs to fit what the agent needs and what they want. You know, there are first-party coverages and there are third-party coverages. The first-party coverages include things like crisis management. For example, if this information gets out to competitors, someone needs to be hired to make sure that that's managed. Sometimes the crisis services can be as much as 50% or more of the claim. They could have extortion losses in first-party types of claims where the hackers are trying to extort money from the firm. Then there are restoration costs to get the firm back up. And then a business interruption, which would include the just a loss of business or extra expenses. The third party coverages would be things like liability to others. And if for example, someone sends out an email from the agency and a client or a vendor, a company, has their files infected by a virus or something that is sent out, or maybe the agent's network is used for a denial of service attack. So there's network liability and media liability. If the agency has anything in its website or in publications that they may send out, newsletters and that sort of thing, where there may be trademark or copyright infringement issues. Then there are the regulatory costs that the different states and the federal government may require. And then privacy liability, the different things that are required by by those security breach laws. So there are so many different parts of the puzzle, and some policies only do third party, some do both, and some just do one piece of that puzzle.
So aside from having a cyber policy, which will, you know, help protect you in the event that a breach does happen, what about preventative measures? Is there anything that an agency can do now to prevent a breach from happening?
Sure. typically, the main things is to make sure that they have good security software and that the updates are applied on a regular basis. Things like biometrics and smart cards, internal training of the staff is a good thing. Also, encryption of mobile devices. Many of the carriers are getting to the point where they won't insure loss of an iPad or a smartphone or a laptop unless the information has been encrypted. And if the agency is not sure of what different things might be available for that, again, some of those companies like Symantec, Ponymon, Identity Theft 911, NetDiligence, many of those provide those sorts of surveys and can assist greatly with that.
What are some of the roadblocks that might stand in the way of an agency being properly protected?
Well, probably just not ever having had a breach, they just assume that it won't happen to them, and so they don't properly protect themselves. You know, what I usually find is they may be very intent. Most agents are intent on protecting their clients, but it's kind of like the cobbler's kids are the ones that don't have any shoes. They provide all this protection and assistance for clients, but in the end of the day, they forget to arm themselves against these types of losses.
Is there anything else that you feel like an agent needs to be aware of when it comes to protecting his or her agency?
Well, I always recommend when I do cyber classes for the National Alliance around the country, I always recommend that we tell our clients, first of all, that the agent should know what the security breach requirements are for the states in which they operate. They need to know what is required if a breach occurs, not only for their clients, but for themselves. And they also need to make sure that they are properly set up, as we talked, with a plan in the event something happens. You know, who do we notify first? What requirements are there? And if we don't do those requirements, what are the potential penalties? So those are some of the things that are really easy to do and really are necessary.
So where can someone go to learn more about this topic?
Well, there are literally webinars weekly in different trades in our industry. Of course, the National Alliance has a number of things. We have a two-hour topic in the CIC Commercial Casualty Institute, which is very basic about cyber liability. Then in the Rubel seminars, there are a number of specific topics regarding coverages and different requirements. But again, some of the best information can come from the agent's own insurance companies. Many of the companies that provide their own forms and have a ton of information that's available really at no cost to the agent. And then, of course, if the agent buys a policy, then in many cases, a lot of that material is available to them very easily.
So how did you kind of get into the field of cyber policy?
Well, it was almost by accident. I had some clients who I really thought needed some coverage, and I just started looking, and I found out that there were a number of different types of policies available, but I had no idea how to compare those policy forms or how to determine, you know, which was the best for my clients. So I basically got with some underwriters that were very astute and a couple of brokers that represented multiple carriers. This is a constantly changing topic. This is something I find that changes pretty much daily or weekly because there's new threats that come out, there's new types of coverage, and these policies are really a changing commodity very quickly with the carriers.
So what resources do you use to stay up to date and current with these changes?
Well, I have a number of online things that I take from obviously the Insurance Journal. I have some things I get from bank insurance. There are a number of different items that I'm always looking at different ones that talk about cybersecurity, the different policies, plus the information that I get from the National Alliance.
Well, hey, thanks so much for doing this.
You bet. Anytime.
For more resources, visit thenationalalliance.com. And be sure to check out the National Alliance on LinkedIn. Share your thoughts about this week's podcast, and let us know if you have any suggestions for future topics. This is Speaking Insurance.